Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. We'll be going to one other place. Acts chapter number 8. This morning's message will be a little different in the normal direction I would go. And I'd like to just give you a few things about here in Acts chapter number 8. I'd like to go another place in the book of Genesis. And so when we get over to the book of Genesis, you'll know. You can time it. You'll know we're almost done. Acts chapter number 8. I want you to look at verse number 26. I'm going to give you a little background before I start reading. There's a preacher by the name of Philip we're fixing to read about. Very famous story. Philip was an evangelist. And he just come out of a great revival. And he runs up, when he's coming out of that revival, he runs up on a fella from Ethiopia. And this fella's up in the chariot reading his Bible. And Philip goes up in their chariot and points him and directs him and leads him to the Lord. I want you to follow reading verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. You see that? Go toward the south. Under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning, and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. He's reading Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him, heard him, read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So he opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. Everybody say it. And as they went on their way, they came into certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And he was come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way. Last word. Now, let me say this before I pray. I haven't said anything about this in a long time. There's a lot of talk in Dyersburg about Brother Jeremy being a cult leader. You go down there at Holy Hills, they check your Bible when you come in the door. If you ain't got a King James, they kick you out. I don't know if they check your Bible or not. If they do, I don't know about it. They didn't check mine. But just in passing, I'm going to tell you one reason why Brother Jeremy preaches out of the King James Bible. In this room right here, I don't know. You bring whatever you want to bring. Help yourself. You pray about it. Help yourself. But if your Bible this morning does not have verse 37 in it, then you might want to get another. And you say, well, Brother Jeremy, you can say Brother Jeremy, I want to. But when a Bible goes from verse 36 to 38, there's a big problem somewhere. Yeah. And once you leave out the most important verse, they come up to some water and say, hey, here's some water. You want to be baptized? Philip says, hang on, don't get the cart before the horse. Guess what you got to do before you get baptized? Yeah. Verse 37, if thou believe with all of thy heart. You can. Boy, if you leave out verse 37, we got major problems. So, when you hear about Brother Jeremy, King James on King James, that's all it, King James. Well, now you know why. Because things that are different are not the same. Now, I said it, we fixing to pray, and we're going to move on. Hallelujah. So if you'd like a good Bible, it's got all the verses in it and nothing left out. You see me after church, I'll show you how you can get a good one. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Lord, I pray, God, everything said, done this morning be to your honor and your glory. I pray that in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Here's what I want to show you in Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8, Philip leads an Ethiopian man to the Lord. And this is the story. We just read it. And this Ethiopian man is sitting up in his chair. He's reading his little Bible. His little Bible has the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. He's reading Isaiah 53. Over in Isaiah 53, it says, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is on him. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and everyone turned his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he's reading the blood atonement. He's reading the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God comes to Philip and says, hey, you need to go talk to that fellow over there. He's reading his Bible. He really don't understand what he's reading. Won't you go over there and help him? So Philip goes over there, joins himself under their chair, climbs up in there, gets him a seat. It's all in there. You just sort of got to read it. He gets in there and he says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I understand unless some man should guide me? Would you guide me? Help me? Hey, folks, listen. You can guide folks and point folks into the right direction. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. If I could, I'd get everybody saved as possible, but I can't. Somebody told me, said, well, baptism, you got to get baptized to get saved. Boy, if that was true, man, I'd get me some help. I'd force every one of y'all down under the water. I almost did a drive-by baptism yesterday. It was raining real bad. There was a puddle of water. There was a fella walking toward me on the sidewalk. And I avoided hitting that puddle. I thought, man, if baptism say I could hit that puddle, baptize that guy, and he'd go to heaven. Drive-by baptism. That's not what it is. Here's what I want to point out to you this morning. Sermon, I don't know. I got a couple things wrote down right here, but let me give you this. In Acts chapter number 8, this fella is reading Isaiah 53, and those are the facts. And then in verse 37, the Ethiopian eunuch puts faith into the facts. And then in verse 39, last word is what? That's feeling. So it starts out first, get it in this order. If you don't have it in this order, you got it in the wrong order. It has to be in this order. Number one, fact. Then you put faith in the facts, and then you have feeling. You got it? Now, some of you say, oh, preacher, put something else. All right, safe, secure, satisfied. Maybe you like that one better. But it always has to start off with the facts. The facts are, Isaiah 53 says, he was a lamb, led before the shear, dumb before it, opened not his mouth. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Those are the facts. You say, preacher, I don't believe it. It doesn't matter what you believe if what you believe is not so. Amen. Hell is hot whether you believe it or not. Poison kills whether you believe it or not. It makes no difference what you believe if what you believe is not so. It has to be based upon the fact. A lot of people believe in a lot of things. There are people that believe there is no God. It's not based upon fact. Some people believe their religion causes them to hijack airplanes and run them into the Twin Towers in New York. And they say, we have strong faith. But their faith is not based upon the facts. You have to have the facts first. And the facts are, there is a heaven. You say, how do you know there's a heaven? Because I've read the facts. You ain't never been to heaven? No. How do you know there is one? I've read the facts. The facts are, there is a heaven. there is a hell, and you have two choices to make, or one choice to make. Either you can choose Jesus Christ and go to heaven, or if you'd like to go to hell, any other thing will do. Now let me say that over here to the Pentecostal side. You want to go to heaven when you die? Trust Jesus Christ. If you'd like to go to hell, trust anything else. Anything else will do. You say, I want to go, I'd like to go to hell. All right, just trust in a church membership. Trust in baptism. Trust in turning over a new leaf. You stop doing this, okay? And trust in that. Hey, but if you want to go to heaven when you die, salvation is not in a church. There ain't a church in America. There's not a church in the world that's ever saved anybody. Those are the facts. You say, where'd you get those facts? From a good Bible. It's got all the verses in them. Hallelujah. And hadn't changed a word. You know the facts. Let me illustrate. You say, all right, there's a fact. All right, what about the faith? All right, you have to have faith, put them into fact. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever been to heaven before? Never seen it? Then how do you know? Well, the evidence of things not seen, there's the evidence. This is the evidence of things not seen. You say, preacher, what is faith? Faith is what you believe about God accompanied by the actual doing of what you say you believe. You say, explain that. Okay, how many of you got up this morning and flipped the light switch on? Y'all, now some of you, I know. Well, some of you may have got dressed in the dark. I believe a lot of people at Walmart got dressed in the dark. The lights were not on when they went into Walmart. Hallelujah. Where was I? Oh. You got up, you flicked the light on. If you're like me, I don't know how electricity works. But I believe it works. I have faith it works. And because I have faith it works, I reached over there, not even thinking about it, flicked the light on, and expected it to come on. I got in my car this morning, or truck, and turned the key on. Ford F-150, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, that kinked the service right there. Put the key in, and guess what? I don't know what triggers that thing. I don't know what makes it work. I couldn't tell you where the carburetor is. Turn that key, guess what? I just sat down and expected it to go. By what? Faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everybody in this room has already expressed faith. You came in, y'all sat down in a chair. You wasn't for sure could hold you up. But you didn't check the legs. You didn't see if they was welding on right. You just plop down. You put 100% of your weight. You put 100% of your weight in a chair that you wasn't for sure about. You didn't check it. You just come on in. You didn't say, no, you just come on and say, I am. 100% of your weight. That's faith. Now, y'all not, okay, y'all not with me. All right. How many of y'all have flown an airplane? That's faith. How many of y'all saw the pilot and asked for his license and looked at his license before you got on and sat down? How many ever saw the pilot? You don't even know if he was up there flying it. You got in, sat down, bought you a ticket, got in, sat down. You don't even know if there was a guy up there flying it. You know, all you know is you started moving. And you're trusting in somebody you've never seen to get you somewhere. Oh, now you're getting it. That, my friend, is faith. You know what faith is? Faith is resting 100% of your weight in the facts. You say, oh, but so-and-so's got faith. Well, if it's not based upon the facts, it's dead faith. All right. Most of the kids are not in here, okay? So watch this. I can have faith that that the Easter Bunny is coming at Easter. And the Easter Bunny lays Cadbury eggs. And I can get up here and preach a 30-minute sermon on how the Easter Bunny lays golden eggs and Cadbury chocolate. Hallelujah. I'm working my... Man, I'm telling you. And lays those kind of eggs and preach a 30-minute sermon and get everybody in here to believe in it. And everybody in here would have faith that is true, but at the end of the day, it's not based upon facts. What about the tooth fairy? Man, we all have fun with all of that thing. Lord, I started getting money when I started pulling mine, man. I'm telling you. You get a $5 bill, man, I was making money, you know. And faith is a tooth fairy. But hey, faith has to be based upon what? All right, I got to hurry. When I was a kid, still I like this, except when I'm trying to get somewhere. You come up to a train track. There's one over in Milan. Every time in Milan, Tennessee, it comes across the whole town there. And you come up to that red light. Here's the bars coming down. The lights are blinking. Here comes the train. And it's like 247 boxcars, you know? And you're sitting, but as a kid, you're sitting there, and boy, you couldn't wait. Because why? You were waiting on something at the end. Y'all help me. You were waiting on something to get there, and it was a little red something, and you were waiting on what to get there? The caboose. As a kid. But now if you're trying to get somewhere, man, you're like, oh, please, hurry up. So, here's the message right here. You got fact, you got faith, and you got feeling. And the caboose is the feeling. It always comes last. You don't base your salvation on feeling. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Jeremy. You don't base your salvation on feeling. How many? Oh, most of our songs are... Now, I'm not jumping up. I like to feel good. But let me say this. Hey, did y'all know you can get a good feeling? Yeah. If you drink a little too much? Yeah. I ain't ever drank, but I'm saying I've heard people say, boy, I got out of that, didn't I? You can get a good feeling from a pill bottle. You can get a good feeling from a long neck bottle. That don't mean you're saved. Because that feeling's not based upon what? Facts or faith. All right. So, you say, hey, and there are some churches that are based. All right, let me just, this is Sunday morning. Is everybody all right? Look, there are some churches, it's all based upon, they don't have it in the right order either. They got the feeling on the front end. And if you ain't swinging off the chandeliers and jumping, doing backflips, throwing songbooks in the air, jumping in the baptistry, boy, they leave the service and say, man, we had a service today. Well, what happened? I don't know, but man, it was good. Man, you ought to say, man, they cleared three pews. I saw this lady getting knocked, that boy, here she was, rolling around in the floor. And boy, I'm telling you, so good. Was it based upon fact? I don't know. Now, that upset a little of some of you, but you'll get over it once you start reading the Bible. Once you start reading the facts, and then you put the faith in the facts, then you'll get a good feeling. All right, y'all ready? All right, come here Joe. Joe, stand right here. Here, get your Bible. Is that your Bible? That's yours? Okay, all right, anyway. Come on, Eric. I need you, Eric. You stand that way, hold that Bible in front of you. Now come here, Eric. And you put your hands not on the hips, up here. Up there. Up there. All right. Now, come on, Mark. Right up here. Hey. Now watch. Stay with me. What do we have right here? Yeah, okay, everybody. What we have right here?
Facts.
What we got right here?
Faith.
And we got what right here?
Faith.
It's caboose. And it has to be in this order. Because this right here is the right order if you want your Christian life to go anywhere, the power, the strength, the power to get up a hill. When you're in a train and you got a hill, you got to get up. Hey, you better have the facts in front of you. Pulling. Amen. So many times, all right, y'all hear me hold the Bible, and y'all reverse. No. Now, look here. We're led by what now? I just don't feel like going to church. I know I'm supposed to pray. I don't feel like praying. Somebody hurt my... And I just don't feel good about this. I think if it feels good, you can do it. Preacher, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. A lot of our songs is, well, you know how it feels when my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home. A lot of our songs are based upon feeling. You know why? You know why Eve ate of that fruit? Because she felt like it. You know why Adam took the fruit with it? Because he felt like it. You know why you don't live a Christian life? Because you don't
feel
like it. Amen. Y'all dizzy yet? Now y'all turn around. Lord, it don't matter what I feel like this morning. I'm going. Based upon your word, I need you. And I'm going to put my faith in trust in your word, no matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how I feel. I'm going to pray until I feel like praying. And I'm going to come to church whether I feel like it or not. How many times have y'all ever, and don't raise your hand, how many times you ever felt like you didn't want to go and you came anyway, and then you left and went, man, I'm glad I went. You know why? Because the feeling comes. Feeling always comes on the caboose side. Hey, let me give you sometimes, y'all are not going to believe this. You wouldn't believe it. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. We're going to get us a new preacher. Well, you probably ought to. I don't feel like praying. But Lord, I'm going to pray anyway. Lord, I sure am glad that you ain't killed me yet. And Lord, I deserve to go to hell, but you sent your son to die for me anyway. And Lord, it sure is good to be saved. I sure do thank you for that. Hey, about 2 or 3 minutes of that. You'll get a feeling. And the feeling ain't on the front end, it's on the back end. Come to church. I don't feel like coming to church. I know sickness. I understand all that. Don't come and cough and get everybody else sick. I ain't talking about that. But I'm talking about just pure laziness.
Come on.
You got that disease where you're that recliner. You know, that's the only thing wrong with you. The bed won't give up the dead, you know. Maybe you're a lover of the covers. You just don't feel. What do we tell people? What do we tell people that just don't get up? They're depressed and they're down. And what we tell them? You need to get up, get out of the house. Get up. I don't feel like. Get up anyway. Why? I don't feel like. Don't go on feeling. The feeling come later. And then when they get up, get out, and the sun is shining outside, they drive around town, and then they come back. Boy, I feel better. Why? Because feeling's on the back end, not on the front. It's like this. What? Facts. Faith. And then what? Feeling. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a messed up society. Messed up world. But one of these days, the Lord's coming. That Bible says the Lord's coming. I got faith in that. And one of these days, when the trumpet sounds, we go, woo! Done hit Joe there. What I tell you? You know. Fact, faith, and feeling. Thank you, guys. Didn't they do a good job? Now watch this. I'm closing. What do you got your faith in? Is it based upon the facts? Or you go by feeling? Well, I just don't feel. People hurt my feelings. Hey, I'm glad we got a good friend, Brother Billy Brooks. We have a good friend, Brother Danny Hall, up in heaven right now. I promise you, he didn't feel like getting up and preaching a whole lot of times. But he done it anyway, and I bet you he felt good on the back end because he done it. I bet you, Jesus didn't feel. Like dying for you. I bet you didn't feel like it. But I bet you he's got a good feeling about it now. Amen. I give you this. I heard about an elderly lady, and her son went off to the Navy and gone for a long, long time. And he kept sending his mama these little pretty gifts. To what they were $50 money orders. Well, every time she got one in the mail, she said, "Oh, this is from my son. Oh, these are so pretty. I'll start hanging them on the wall." And she starts hanging them on the wall. Real pretty. Look, little $50 gift certificates or money orders. And she's hanging them all over the wall. She's got a whole wall full of them. He sends them every month, every week, sometimes three or four times a week. And every time she went, "Oh, look at this." It's so, and then she put them together and make a little pattern on the wall. Well, the welfare department come in, going to take this lady off to the poorhouse. And they got enough money to pay way out. They walked through the living room and said, "Ma'am, what are these?" "Oh, they just little cards my son sends me all the time." "Ma'am, there's 247 of these $50 money orders." "Ma'am, you ain't poor." A lot of us in this room, we got it. And we don't know we got it. We lay it on the coffee table. "What's that?" "Oh, that's just a little. That's a little something. It's pretty. Put insurance papers in. Nobody will mess with them.
And you can hide a $50 bill in here and won't nobody ever find it. You can hide it. You can use a lot of it. You don't know. You don't need a personal safe. Just hide it in here. Ain't nobody gonna find it. When the Lord comes, He says, "You got all that money, and you didn't know you had it. It was right there at your disposal all along. And you didn't put faith in the facts. No wonder you didn't ever feel good." There was a man in the Old Testament, and I'm done. Had two boys, Jacob and Esau. He was blind, he couldn't see. The birthright was supposed to go to Esau, the oldest man. I'm not going to read the story. It's Genesis 27, I think, about that. He called his boys in. He's going to give his birthright to the oldest boy, Esau. Esau was a very hairy individual. I mean, he's just a hairy guy. Jacob was just a plain man, dwelt in the tents. And Jacob come in there trying to fool his daddy to get the birthright. You with me? Daddy says, "Let me." And what he did was he got some goat hair and all that, and he put it all over his arms. That way his daddy felt. And this is what his daddy said. Listen, we're closing. Mark's coming to the piano. Watch this. His daddy said this: "You feel like Esau, but you have the voice of Jacob." And he gave his birthright to the wrong son based upon instead of the voice, the facts. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a sermon. Sunday morning sermon? I don't know. That's the best I had. But it's like this: fact, then you put faith in the facts, and then the caboose always comes last, and then you'll get a feeling. What is your faith in this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you.